whom he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The 20th of St. Matthew, verses 26 to 28. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. In the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, and the Lord of the Church, dearly beloved, and particularly you, dear brother and co-worker, Pastor Mark. You recognize the problem that Jesus is talking about in the text. We sometimes describe it by saying too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Everybody wants to be first. James and John did. Their mother had come to Jesus and had asked that the one should be on his right and the other on his left when Jesus came into his kingdom. And that occasioned the response of our Lord in the text. On another occasion, all of the disciples, we're told, were embroiled in a great discussion as to which of them should be accounted the greatest. And the disciples were not alone. At the beginning of this chapter, Jesus tells a parable about laborers in the vineyard. What was the problem that caused all the mumbling and grumbling on the part of those who had been hired early in the day? It was not that the man who hired them had not kept his word. He had given them everything that he had promised. But they were disturbed because of what they were in relationship to others. If these received so much, they should have received more. And it is no different today. Go into the corporate headquarters of our country and observe the dog eat dog philosophy that consumes so many. Even the church is troubled by a mad rush for the chief seats in the boardroom and the honored places at the ecclesiastical council. Congregations and pastors are engaged in a tug of war as to who shall be chief and who shall be servant, who shall be great and who shall be minister. And even 801 to men is not immune. We too are tempted to think it is my research, my department, and my rank that must come first, or my time preference and my choice of professor that must be served when the computer spits out the class schedule. In the text, we are called to something else. Jesus calls us to true greatness in church, not only as we begin a new academic year, but indeed for all of the time that we shall be privileged to serve in succeeding years in the cause of the gospel. And may the Spirit of God bless us as we look at the inspired word. The tale is, first of all, what these words mean, and then we can apply them also to our life here at Concordia Seminary. Whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. The three things that we might note in passing about these words. In the first place, Jesus does not want us to have any doubt as to what he's talking about, and so he makes the second statement stronger than the first. If you want to be great, then be a servant. And if you want to be even greater, then don't be servants, but be slaves. Secondly, the whosoever knows of no qualification. Whosoever will be chief among you. Faculty are not accepted, nor are students, pastors, or the lay people of the church. And thirdly, we are reminded that there is a greatness that we can covet. We want to be great in God's sight, that is, used in a great and wonderful way as we hold high the cross of Jesus and spread abroad the glory of the Savior's name. But that true greatness, to say it again, is to be found in service. And what form does such service take on our campus? He thinks first of all of the service in the classroom, the heart and center of the theological enterprise, the exegete who shares God-given insight into the text of Holy Scripture, serves not just the student, but the church general, and indeed the Lord of the church. The same may be said of the one who helps the future pastor articulate the doctrines of the church as we have drawn them from Holy Scripture, or of those who give to their scholars a knowledge and an appreciation of the rich heritage handed down by the Christian church of all ages, and especially by our fathers in Christ, or of those who teach prospective pastors to preach and teach, to counsel and to evangelize. Here is an opportunity not to flaunt authority or to parade learning, but first of all, to serve. We serve one another. Also, as we help one another to a reverence for the gospel of God's undeserved love in Jesus Christ. For the scriptures, where we found that gospel and that Savior, and in a concern for pure doctrine. Many seminaries have ignored, forgotten, or rejected this area of service. Carried away by the agenda of the world, they preach a gospel that is really no gospel at all. Some scoff at any view of Scripture that does not put it down to the same level of any purely human writing. They reject any talk of strict doctrine, and pure doctrine is for them the language of the modern Pharisee. Indeed, we may be tempted when we talk about theological education for the real world to imply that perhaps we shouldn't get so hung up on theology and doctrine, but rather give our students the smoke so that they can attract the masses, fill the pews, empty the pocketbook, and so find success. As though theology and pure doctrine is not practical and indeed offensive for any gain and keeping people for and with our Lord and Savior.